Hello, campers. We are now offering enamel pins with our logo for our $10 tier on Patreon.com. Go to patreon.com/SSFC or follow the link in our show notes to represent camp.
And now for the show.
Two scary stories from Camp Roanoke. It's me, Katie. Okay, good. Get all those listeners out of there. Now it's just us, so we can
be alone. This was the purpose of the podcast.
Yeah, let's not post this one. Let's just have it be us. Okay, my name's Katie Wiggins.
I'm Morgan Drisco.
This is a podcast where we tell true scary stories. From spooky television shows and sometimes from books and things that we find fun and cozy and interesting and environments that we're drawn to. I'm drawn to cozy New Englandy and foreign environments. Morgan is drawn to very disturbing things. Demons. Pretty consistently. And it forms a nice balance, I think.
It does. A little bit of everything. Sometimes Bigfoot, sometimes aliens, sometimes nuns. I think nuns.
Literally once Bigfoot, once aliens, the both end. Because both of us were like, huh. Anyway.
The alien one was kind of spooky.
It was super spooky.
And I don't remember any details.
Was also very spooky. And then I think we were both like, great.
Satisfied.
That's all we
did. I think we did it.
Hear about that. Because they both seem to sort of encapsulate like the what typifies that genre of spooky story, you know? It was like hell three Bigfoot tales that were all like, well, it seems like there's something going on.
Yeah. Something's happening. Yep.
What's your deal? What's your damage? What are you doing?
I have been very overwhelmed lately, been stressed. I didn't want any of my normal things. I didn't want the scary priest show that I watched a little bit of. I didn't want a demon.
Priests and spookiness.
I didn't want any of that.
Right.
I went to my go-tos and I didn't want it.
Huh.
So I went through Amazon Prime and I tried to find a new show.
Oh, Amazon Prime's a crazy place for paranormal shows. Crazy place. I swear anybody could get a goddamn show on Amazon Prime.
I didn't realize it was like YouTube. It's like anyone
can do it. It is like YouTube.
And that's why I picked this show, because I'm just so shocked it's a thing and it's a cute little story, but
that's the takeaway. So rude. It's like YouTube.
Ooh. I was just shocked that there's so much content. It is specific content.
Like, Amazon Prime, like, just, like, drags the bottom of the ocean. Like, I mean, picks up all of it.
Yeah. Netflix has got so much, they gotta beef their game up somehow.
I feel like Netflix used to have a lot weirder, more stuff. Don't you think? Like, when I was in college.
They don't anymore.
Right. When I was in college, I think I found like, a ton of, like, weird, cool, interesting, you know, foreign movies and stuff. And now I feel like, you know, everything is just like, have you watched like A Year in the Life, Gilmore Girls? And I'm like, yes. Yeah.
Or like twice. Netflix original series.
Yes. It's all Netflix original series. Like, you won't find like a weird foreign movie from, you know, the mid 80s. Like,
which was like my favorite part of Netflix for a while.
Amazon Prime.
That's where
it's find
at.
It all.
So I'm going to play. Okay. I'm going to play a little tiny snippet of the audio. As we hear this music, it's panning over beautiful, lush greenery. It's rolling hills. There's trees. There's not a car, not a house. Gorgeous. I think that's the intro. I do a couple, like, 10-second skips. This goes on for a minute and a half, uninterrupted by text or conversation. I forget what show I'm watching.
Are you sure you weren't watching a meditation?
Okay, the show is called Haunted France.
Ooh!
Yeah, I thought it'd be different and a little relaxing, a little spooky. And it was. A minute and a half into my Zen state, I hear the voice of a very beautiful, like, she's got a beautiful voice, this French woman. She's talking about the Ardèche region. Her words are so eloquent, how peaceful it is. She's saying, this part of France, there's no airports or trains, there's no malls. It's just...
sounds lame as hell.
She's talking about how she, it's precious time for her. She goes there to eat eat with her family and just visit and get away from it all. But it's, I don't know. She talks about the sunrise and the crickets squabbling. She really took me there. I was waiting for it to get like, dun-dun, spooky. But right.
Law and Order.
She never switches to that vibe. It's always very relaxing and sweet and beautiful. So she even shows herself eating with her family. What? I don't know if she ever actually introduced herself. There was no, like, haunted France across the screen.
Right.
She just went right into it. she says, Ardèche looks like heaven, but there is a place looking like hell. The location of the spooky story is 19th century famous Bloody Inn.
Cool. But
I myself could not find a lot of research about Bloody Inn. Maybe it's more famous in France. I had a lot of trouble finding it, and I know that they call it, I think it's L'Auberge Rouge, just the Red Inn. The two owners of the inn, Pierre and Marie Mastine, own the inn, and they came upon hard times, so they decided to start robbing their clientele.
And this is in the 1800s?
Yeah. I think this was, like, 1812, 18, like, kind of early. We're getting to the 1820s. That's where the beef of the story is going to come in.
Right.
So they've owned it for a while. They're down on their luck. They're robbing their clients.
Classic. Marie... it's a Thénardier tale. If Les Mis taught us anything, it's never stay in a French fucking inn and never fight for what you believe in because you'll die.
True.
There are probably a few other messages. It's a long book and musical.
It's a lot to
tell. To love another person is to see the face of God, some other stuff. Look down, red, black.
Prostitutes.
A few other things. Yeah.
Yeah, bread.
We learned it all.
So Marie was the ringleader. It's said that the visitors would go to their rooms after having dinner, and when they go up the stairs to get to their rooms, their servant, Fétiche, would be hiding behind the stairs, and he would knock them out. And they would fall back and hit their head on the banister. Mm-hmm. And some would die on impact. And some would stay alive but be severely injured. And then Marie and Pierre were said to have done what they wanted with the bodies. They would chop them up, stab them, all that kind of stuff. And then Marie would cook the customers.
We're going into another
little Sweeney Todd. Yeah.
Some Sweeney Todd. Okay, great.
Yeah, so she would cook the best parts of the people and feed them to her other clients, and the rest of the bodies,
they only the best.
Only the best for my clients. The rest of the bodies she would burn the remains of at the inn. They killed more than 50 people in 25 years.
This is real?
Mm-hmm. This is real.
They killed 50 people?
What the...
Wait, 50 people in 25 years?
I mean, overall an impressive number, but in the time span?
They were biding their time. Like, they weren't...
They weren't gonna get caught.
Frenzy killers.
No,
they took, you know...
They got caught. Eventually. There were a lot of rumors of people seeing hands in pots... and blood all over the inn. People saw the smoke and knew.
Black city in the moonlight, city on fire. I knew I'd found a way to sing in this episode, and there it is. It is literally the scariest, worst part of Sweeney Todd, is when they're singing about the black smoke coming out of the chimneys. Ugh,
that is horrible. Really scary. I watched that for the first time recently.
The movie or the musical? Yeah,
the movie.
I haven't seen that since it came out. I've seen the musical many, many times. And when I was in it, I had to have my hair messed up because they said I looked too cute. And then I went right back to the dressing room and put my hair right because I didn't like the way that they made me, tried to make me look uglier. Because I was like,
hell yeah,
this works. Not everyone in England was ugly then.
Yeah, come on.
I wasn't. Anyway, continue.
So it's said that they got caught because a man, Jean-Antoine, went missing and he was found later by the inn in the snow. And his skull had been smashed in and his knee had been crushed. And they were able to talk to some people and link it to Marie and Pierre. And so they went to trial.
Fetish, which she called him fetish once.
And I said, no, I don't think it's fetish.
He wishes.
Fetish wasn't on the hook just yet. At first, Pierre was the only one who got nabbed for it because they didn't believe a woman could murder. And then sexist. Her and... How dare you! Then they all ended up going to prison. They were there for a year. And they didn't have any actual evidence because they'd spaced it out so well.
Right.
And covered their tracks. So they were trying to figure out how they could nab them and give them the death penalty. And they ended up finding $1 million dollars, she
oh.
said.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like eyeballs. $1 million toes. My imagination got away from me. Oh, dear.
And they knew there's no way they could have gotten that from just working the inn. There was three bedrooms, two functioning bedrooms.
No, hell no.
And it's 1833 at this point.
Right.
So they use that as the evidence to say you've been stealing from people and murdering. So we're gonna guillotine you.
Oh, good.
So, 1833, they set up a guillotine in front of the inn. 30,000 people showed up.
Wow.
I anywhere I could find a story on this, everybody said it was 30,000 people.
Wow, that's a consistent number.
Yeah. And everyone was pissed because everybody knew these people were doing some wackadoodle shit.
I bet there were crazy rumors. There's always, like, when weird shit goes down and they don't get arrested, but, like, rumors start kind of bubbling up. Like, I'm sure people were, like, I'm sure people in the neighborhood were, like, don't go to that inn. You know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of stench that just, like, comes off of someone who's engaged in some sort of horrific murder.
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't know.
It's definitely ooky spooky. So they were all guillotined on the same day. Pierre was first. He said nothing.
Bon voyage, Pierre.
Marie was second, and it was said that it looked like she was possessed. She apparently spit on a cross with Jesus on it. She was yelling things. She claimed until her last moments that she was innocent. But she went nuts at the guillotining.
Well, and then it's hard to know how to act when you're going to be guillotined. Yeah. What the appropriate thing
What's the etiquette?
I'm actually almost positive there is guillotine etiquette. I'm sure somebody I'm sure that's a pamphlet. Because a whole lot of people got guillotined.
Oh, yeah.
France loves that shit. So I'm sure there's a way to do it.
I'm sure she didn't do it, though.
She clearly was comfortable flouting societal norms, Morgan. So I'm sure she didn't. I'm sure what she must have done the opposite of what you're supposed to do. So you're not supposed to spit on a crucifix.
No.
And you're supposed to say, I'm guilty. Society, you I applaud me. You for doing what you need to do.
Fetish, his last words, because he was also guillotined.
Right.
Casey, you were wondering what happened.
I was.
He shouted, "Bloody masters, what I've done because of you."
All right. Fetish, free will exists. All right, buddy. Kneel down.
They tried in court to say, his lawyer said he was guilty, but that he had to do what they said and couldn't escape because he was their slave.
Huh. Okay.
But they still had him guillotined.
Right.
And in front of the inn to this day, because the inn is still standing, they've built like a gas station and like a hotel kind of thing, like in the same zone.
Okay.
It's very hard to find. You can stay, well, the lady here stayed there. I don't know if anyone else has stayed there, but they have a giant rock in front of the inn where they were guillotined. So you can like stand there and see it. So our host, Vanessa Michel, who I didn't know her name until I saw the credits because she doesn't know how to run a show.
It looks like the Bloody Inn is a board game.
There is a board game. That's a lot of the only stuff I could find. I need to find the French name. Because the French name, I got more research.
It says Auberge Rouge.
Yes.
But mostly it looks like the board game is very
popular.
And
I think I'd like the board game.
Me too. This looks like an awesome board game. I love this. The images are great.
Yeah, we need to maybe play this board
game. Okay, great. Well, that's a fun thing that I know now.
So Vanessa is going to spend two nights at the inn. The first night she's going to spend in one of the rooms that's a separate building from the original inn.
Our host? The woman who was talking about eating with her family and that they're in the malls?
Yeah, she's going to be staying at the Bloody Inn.
Wonderful.
So she's been the first night in the building next to it, and then the second night she's going to be investigating in the actual inn. She's going to see where they allegedly were banked over the head and knocked over everything. She's going to see it all.
But it's more than alleged, right? Like they
They know that people died. I don't know if they know for sure people were
right. They don't know exactly the mechanism.
Yeah. Yes. So.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
And I want you to see, I might have to post a picture of her because she's just so like precious and sweet.
Oh,
and
I can imagine.
And she's starting off the first night in the bedroom. She's lying on the bed. She's going to do the Ganzfeld experiment.
Yes, where you isolate, you cover your eyes and your ears, and it basically brings on hallucinations, but I'm here for it. I'll let her do it. Let's see what she hallucinates.
I'd also like to bring up something she casually mentioned at the very end of the episode that I find to be very important. She's the first person that was allowed to investigate here.
Oh, wow.
She's got clout. I dig it. So she's doing the Ganzfeld experiment with one of her friends. She's taking notes and then her cameraman. And she covers her eyes. She puts white noise on in her headphones. And she says she's going to try to receive telepathic messages from the place.
Oh, that would give me so much anxiety.
Yeah, so she's sitting there in the room. Her friend's ready to write. She warned us it would take about 30 minutes for it to start. The first thing she says is, "Did someone scream?" Also, all of her intros and when she's segmenting, like, I moved to this room, if she's not actively, like, talking to a ghost or doing something, like, when she talks to a ghost, she's speaking in French, full French. Mm-hmm. But everything else is in English. Mm. Like, it's very half and half.
Weird.
And I love the French language. So she asked, "Did someone scream?" She takes off her headphones and everything. She's like, "I heard a scream. Is everyone okay?" And they're like, "No, nothing happened. That was all you." Then she puts it all back on. She says, "Fuck, I see blood. I have goosebumps." Then she says, "There's no way. I cannot stand this. It might be my imagination," which she says a couple times. "It might be my imagination, but I feel like I saw something I'm not supposed to see." And she takes a break and she goes, okay, I'm seeing bowels. My whole body is shaking. There's an ocean of blood. And the words she uses are so beautifully just, thick red momentum of, it's just a mountain of bowels.
Oh,
blood trickling.
Morgan.
I mean, this isn't her beautiful words, but.
That's not beautiful.
This is gross.
Words.
No, when she was talking about the cricket squabbling at the beginning. That was really
You're
pretty.
Just in love with Vanessa.
I love Vanessa.
It's all right.
I think you'll
I'm
love
in love
her
with
too.
Michaela Strachan, the host of Great British Ghosts. She's a sturdy tour guide, you know. None of this bowels, you know. Nothing visceral there. She's just like, you don't say, every time she hears any crazy shit.
So, you know, mountain of bowels.
Love it.
She says she wants to puke. She takes it off again and says, I need a minute. Let's try again. Puts it all back on. Fuck, I see the bowels again. I think it's a message. I think if I look and pay attention further, I'll get the message. She says, I see a woman's eyes looking at me. She's fat with a messy bun. She refers to it as the fat woman a lot.
Fucking French people, man.
Right. She looks bad. She's like a bad woman. I see a very old hutch with beautifully organized plates.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Tell
Let's
me
talk
more
about the furniture.
The
And then the cameraman records some knocking sounds.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Then we go back to, you know, the fat woman and the bells. She's going through the house in her mind now. She sees a hallway with three doors, a carpeted floor, a purplish-red color. She's describing what she's seeing in great detail, furniture-wise.
Mm-hmm.
A kettle on the fire, a fat woman by the kettle, which is, you know, the kettle's on the fire, she says a lot. I see an old man with the top hat. He looks like Popeye in the face. He's very ugly. She talks about an old wooden table, which when her friend, when it's all over, reads back to her what she said, her friend says, an old, ugly wooden table. She's like, no, this table was gorgeous.
Très belle. Non. France does have a wonderful history with furniture construction and refurbishment, so this all tracks.
Oh my god,
it really does. They're the master furniture refurbishers.
I believe it.
Just another reason. Oh, such a wonderful country.
Oh, it really is. She sees wooden stairs, the stairs going up to the hallway with three doors that she mentioned earlier. She sees the doors. She sees a loaf of bread in the kitchen. She sees the kettle on the fire again. She sees a candle. She sees the woman. The woman's back. She heard the word purple. She doesn't know what that means. She's freaking out. She rips off her headphones again and her eye covers and she says, who touched me? Did you touch me? Who touched me? Like, nobody touched you. She felt someone graze her face, her cheek. She also heard a burning match sound, like a ch- Oh, that was really good.
Thank you. Just so watched a little mini documentary on how matches were invented.
Really?
Yes. I did.
I want to know more, but this isn't the podcast.
It has to do with phosphorus.
I should have known. It's always phosphorus.
Of course.
So she's done seeing things. She's overwhelmed, you know, the bells. So she's without the headphones. Her eyes are uncovered. She's talking with the cameraman and her friend who was writing down stuff. She says that she saw that woman three times and that she does not know who she was, but she's overwhelmed. It's time to call this night done. She's going to go to bed. She decided to film herself sleeping, I guess, in case something happened.
Smart. Okay.
All night tossing and turning. Oh, she was so scared. She's like, I didn't want to close my eyes because I was afraid I would see that stuff again.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's really like The Shining, like when you close your eyes seeing just like blood.
Yeah.
I had a very strong urge to watch The Shining while I was sick, and I was like, no.
No.
That's a bad, bad idea. Because when you're sick, like, things just, like, hit different, and you have crazy dreams, and it's just, like, so not a good idea. I literally, a couple days ago, just watched the trailer for Call of the Wild, and then I had a horrific dream about having to slide down a mountain. So... You know, you have to be really careful about the kind of media you take in when you're sick.
You're a very vibrant dreamer.
It's true.
Mine are not creative dreams.
Well, it doesn't feel any more comfortable that they are That's creative. That's fair. So
now it's night two. She's going into the actual inn. And she says it's the first time she's seen the inn. She's never seen a photo of it. She's never been inside of it.
Yeah, I can verify. I just Googled it. There's one external picture, and then there's a lot of the images for the game. And the game looks really good, but it will not give you a hint as to the interior of the inn.
It's so tiny. It's so, so tiny. There's a little kitchen. There's the three bedrooms upstairs. Uh-huh. There's like a small dining room off to the kitchen. She's going to walk through it. Tell us what she's seeing. See if she can connect anything from what she experienced.
I bet that was even more like when they found all their tons of money and they were just like huge bushy eyebrow rays. Like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, this fucking tiny, tiny place does not rake in this shit.
Yeah, absolutely wild.
They're also, just like, we are just excellent businessmen. Our franchise is very successful. And they're like, no, Pierre. I'm afraid not.
First night in the inn. They're in the main room, the kitchen.
Second night. First night in the inn. Sorry. Second night on the premises.
On the premises. Yes.
Right.
So you've got the furnace. You've got a big old wooden table with a fake loaf of bread on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then a kettle, which has a light under it to be fake fire. And she kept saying she saw the kettle on fire. So there's the kitchen, and there's some seating to where guests could eat in the kitchen while she was cooking. And then the room next to it was for wealthier visitors to eat. And Marie, there was a couple holes in the wall. And it was said that Marie would go in the room next to it and watch them through the holes in the wall and listen to hear if they talked about money. Because that was her choosing her prey.
No, of course.
Then she walks...
Man, no! I cannot travel another day! My pockets are so heavy with gold! A certain liob! I can make it! Fatouche! Run!
Kim. Also, it's weird that they had...
Fatiche. Oh, many apologies, Fatiche.
So, she had the furnace in the main room where she would cook, but she had another furnace in this house. It's smaller than most people's homes. And she only used that furnace... for bodies is what I've heard, because the guests never saw her use that furnace.
Huh.
She only used the other one to cook in.
Right.
So
and the, the furnace is like a cast iron.
It looks like a pizza oven almost, like a tiny, tiny slot for you to put stuff.
I've only seen furnaces in movies where people were scared of them in the basements.
Yeah,
like there's... Home Alone. And I think that's it. And the logo of Potbelly, I think, is a furnace.
This is more of a... It's a really, really, really old home, so I guess it's a furnace that was built as part of the home. Mm-hmm. So it's just stone, and then there's a couple holes for you to, I guess, stoke the flames, put coal or wood in, and then for you to, like, cook shit.
Yeah.
In. Very that. So Vanessa wants to take us upstairs. And this inn is a functioning museum now, so that's why there's stuff set up. They've got a lot of original furniture from the 1800s in there. Mm-hmm. It's very cool looking. So she goes up the stairs, and there was no light, so it's pitch black. It's already really dark, and they have one light going. And you walk up the stairs, and to the left of you, there's a hole, like, a part in the wall where someone can stand. And they have a mannequin of Fetish.
No, no, no.
Standing there with, like, a shovel.
No. No.
And then she walks up and she talks about how dark it is and how, you know, you have some wine, you're at the hotel, you're stumbling up. You wouldn't even notice. Of course,
she's setting the scene. French people love that shit. Mm. Scene setters, if I ever knew them.
And she looks behind her to where there's the head, the pillar, like the board that people are said to, when he hits them, they hit their head on.
Yeah.
It's huge. And there's one spot of it that's, like, dark.
Of from course being, there is. Oh, my God.
From being, I won't say it's a blood spot, but it's definitely been handled a lot. Like, head level.
Was she scared by the mannequin?
No.
She knew about it.
I don't
it.
Think she wanted to insult the museum. She's very polite. It was great.
I've already complained to the Better Business Bureau one time this week, and I would complain again for that shit. That is so... Oh, wait. That doesn't exist in France. It, probably a better version exists in France.
Probably.
Probably way
did
better.
Did you complain to Better Business Bureau?
Wait, what?
Did you complain to the Better Business Bureau?
I did complain to the Better Business Bureau because the ads on Hulu for Dr. Pimple Popper are so disgusting and so grotesque. I have to shut my eyes for like a full like 30 seconds.
Gross.
And it's really, really gross, and that sort of stuff you should have a warning for. In any other instance, yeah. You have a warning for it and you have to actively consent to watch it. So yes, I complained.
Hell yeah.
And I haven't seen another one since I complained. So, awesome. Very weird stuff. I don't know where it went, but I haven't right had to see top. It again. I Good. Hope a lot more people have also complained.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yes, it's super gross.
So, dark stairway. Very, very narrow stairway. Leading into an even narrower hallway. All wood. Very, very dark. Too tiny. Mm-hmm. Three doors. So everything she's seen the night before seems to totally track with what she's seeing. She's seen the table, seen the kettle, the bread, the hallway, the stairs. She even saw the hutch downstairs with the plates on it.
Wow.
She's seen it all. Which I find odd. At first I was not impressed, but then after she walked through, she said she had never seen the place before. Pretty crazy.
I think I'm seeing some images from inside. All super old places pretty much just look the same, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, wooden table, big oven. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, okay, got it. Great, great, great. Love it. Okay.
There's also a guillotine inside of this place mm-hmm. for the museum aspect, which I don't super like.
Well, I don't think it's very historically accurate. Yeah. I don't think many homes had personal guillotines.
Well, they have it to be like, they were guillotined here, here's a guillotine.
Right.
But it feels like a big slap in the face.
Cut to the throat.
We're going through now the house, now that she's the inn, now that she's showed us everything. She's going to try and get some EVPs. She's going to try and get some stuff going. She, at one point, was just walking. And the only people there were her cameraman, and the owner was just kind of standing by watching. And they caught a woman go, woo, woo. And it was not any of them. And they did not hear it until they listened to the audio that they had recorded.
Huh.
Just very, like, woo. They walked by the main furnace, the big furnace where allegedly bodies were burned, and they could smell something really strange, and they kept saying how strange it smelled, and they couldn't peg the smell. They said it smelled like furnace or oil lamps, and then they walked to the next room, couldn't smell it, walked back in, smelled it, and then it, like, immediately went away. At one point, she's talking with her cameraman to try and tell him she wants to get a shot of something, and she's explaining to him, and she sees out of the corner of her eye a black figure behind her rushing towards the cameraman in front of her. No one saw anything but her, and they didn't catch it, but she's seeing some crazy shit. Then she decides to go to the big table where all the big spenders would eat, and she's got, like, a sack of coins. Mm-hmm. And she's walking up, and she's, like, jingling the coins. She sits down, she's, like, counting the coins on the table. She's
Mendel!
Made a little ghost show.
That's one of my favorite impressions ever. I just discovered it.
just the main though.
Yeah.
Mendel!
The wealthy Frenchman. What will I do with all my coins? It's very hard on the voice.
Oh my. All right. So she's counting the coins. She's starting to say things, trying to get Marie to kind of pop in.
Right.
And they hear it and they catch knocking on the wall, like coming from the wall where the holes are, where Marie allegedly watched people from.
Right, right.
She's walking through. She catches a lot of EVPs of men as she's doing her final going through rooms trying to get activity.
Mm-hmm.
She hears a lot of breathy groaning. She hears tapping. She gets some footsteps. She gets a lot of audio activity, but no responses in language. You know,
right.
There's no talking.
Sounds like this place is legitimately haunted.
Yeah, and I'm surprised it hasn't been investigated more. I feel like they could really, someone like a medium could go in there and really
right.
do some damage.
French people
really
seem to be not that interested in
yeah.
haunted shit. Because you remember when I did the last French episode and the owner of the inn was like, oh, like he must have loved it. British people love ghosts. You know, like
he spoke to
like a stereotype that British people in particular love ghost stories, which would follow because the insane amount of British ghost shows and
yeah.
books about ghost stories in Britain. But you'll find very limited stuff around French ghost stories. I wonder if they just think it's so much a part of normal life that they don't give a shit, or they just don't seem
like
to
that.
Have a fascination on the same level as Americans and Brits.
That's crazy.
It's interesting. I'd like to know.
Me too.
Although the French people I have come in contact with have been like ardent atheists, so they may think that it's just like total bullshit.
But they've got such old shit going on. They
yeah,
gotta have
totally.
The wildest. So many guillotine ghosts.
Totally.
Ugh.
A lot of rich and fancy ghosts, maybe, who are coming for revenge from the Revolution. Who knows?
Good.
Good? Good! Morgan has revealed herself to be anti-revolutionary.
No, I just like when ghosts get their revenge.
Oh, okay, right. No, she's just pro-revenge. From all angles.
Yeah, that's my typical standpoint. I'm very pro-revenge.
Right.
One of the scariest things they see, I don't know why it's there and they didn't really explain it. It looks like it's the room, I think it's the room, yeah, okay, it's the room where she would stand in to look through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just got some old furniture stored there. And on the far wall, there is a Jesus, a tiny, tiny Jesus, like it belonged on a tiny crucifix, but there is no longer a cross. It's just a metal Christ nailed into a wall.
Oh.
Just, like, crooked, very weird. Very weird.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I don't like that. If there weren't ghosts there before, now there is.
And and also, like, a cross is, like, a pretty famously simple construction.
Yeah,
you just take
hard.
Two pieces of wood. So if Like, if they were missing the cross angle for it, like, the cross part of it, they could probably fashion it. Another one pretty easily.
Or just
easily,
not put it up.
Instead of just being like, no, this would work. Tank! Like, into the wall forever.
And it's a museum. Accuracy, at least, you know.
Maybe it was put up, like, a really long time ago.
Maybe.
Ooh. The 70s was a crazy time in France.
I bet.
That that Jesus being nailed to the wall was the least crazy thing that happened.
So, the last thing she tries to do is going and squatting under the rock that symbolizes where they got guillotined. And she tries to catch some EVPs of her trying... She's trying to talk to Pierre and Marie and Fétiche and try and get them to talk back, but nobody engages her. She hears some tapping, but no conversation. Apparently, when Marie and Pierre were guillotined, the inn went to their daughters. They had children.
Oh, fuck.
And I think they just sold it off. So there's probably a lot of, even, like, Marie and Pierre, all the people they murdered, and who knows what happened with their children and what they went through. This place is... got a dark, rich past that we're just tapping into.
Wow. You're on the forefront.
I'm on the forefront. We're on the forefront together.
Whoa. Feels good.
It does. We're ghost hipsters.
Wow. Ugh. Finally. That is so cool and interesting, and I want to know so much more. It sounds Sweeney Todd, super Les Mis.
Yeah, Les Mis, yeah.
And also, like, why are there so many stories of, like, innkeepers and restaurant owners murdering and cooking people?
Yeah, why is that a trope?
Why is that a trope? I don't like that that's a trope. Thank God for health inspectors now.
Oh, yeah. All we can do now is play the board game. Hope that answers our questions.
Oh, that would be so cool. I think I am interested in that. I will give that one a look-see. Mm. That was super cool, Morgan. What's it called again?
Haunted France.
Haunted France. And is it just one episode?
Several episodes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I totally want to
It's very
watch
relaxing.
That.
You'll love it. I hope all of the episodes...
It has like a minute and a half intro. That's
I really hope that wasn't just this episode. Yes, I would love to see if it was, every other episode was like, brr, ghosts, you know?
Right. Bam, ghosts.
Yeah.
Really good, tight editing.
Like, dolls moving and static and like crosses. Yeah.
The standard editing for that kind of shit. Oh, I hate
nonsense.
It. Yeah. Lately, me and, so I'm definitely going to put that on the fucking list. And I'm going to watch that, like,
hell
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Me and Ian lately have been watching, well, it's on Netflix, but it's a telenovela, a Colombian telenovela from about 2003 called Pasión de Gavilanes. It's really, really good. It's really crazy. It's a telenovela, which I've never watched before, but it's just like a bunch of very, very hot people who are like really aggressive, but also like in love. And there's also like so much intrigue and like the murder, and she's pregnant, and then slap, 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 everybody gets slapped, and there's this one super hot brother who just always grabs people by their, and they're always so angry. It's really good stuff. So that's what that's what we've been watching before bed pretty much every night. We've been watching Pasión.
I don't know why my dreams are crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why weird shit's been going on there.
If you like telenovelas, I think you will like the Korean equivalent, a very dramatic show is Oh My Ghost. And it's this ghost, this girl Bong Soon, like this ghost runs into her body and takes over, and she works for like a famous chef, and there's love and there's demon, like the drama. Oh, you get
I'm really invested in Pasión right now, but thank you so much for the suggestion. There's 188 episodes, so
Jesus,
we're
Christ.
Gonna ride this tide till it
you've
crashes.
Got plenty.
All right, we are going to say right now, we will say to give us a review, and we're going to say to Yeah, give us a review. Give us positive review. Yeah. I mean, if we even end up putting this into the world, who knows? This is just me and Morgan hanging out. And then... and you can email us your scary stories at letterstocamp@gmail.com. I'm collecting some fun stories, and then we'll have like an episode where I just read them all to you. But that has to come at a point where I'm not excited about a story to tell you, and that just like never seems to come. I'm always just like got some fun shit up my sleeve. But
hell yeah.
But maybe that will all end next week. we will have to see. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say about
We have that. A Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. We have a Facebook group at the mess hall. It's called the Camp Roanoke Mess Hall. Type that in. You'll find us. Okay. Now I want to do a shout out because we've had a few more patrons, which is wonderful. Okay. So when you become at least a $5 patron, a junior counselor, you get a shout out about how you came to camp, how you came to Camp Roanoke, how we welcomed you. So this is that. So, everyone has been sick at Camp Roanoke this week, coughing and blowing their noses, and our campfires have been in very poor attendance. So, we've left our logs and fire pit vacant the last few chilly nights. Now, I was walking through the site when I came across some cigarette butts, 8-tracks, and empty boxes of Manic Panic hair dye. Teenagers had made their way to camp. But to prove it, Morgan and I conducted a stakeout that night, and we caught two goth teens, Cameron and Tiffany, giving each other tattoos. We felt strongly that we needed their services on a permanent basis at camp, and hired them on as counselors at once, contingent on the cleaning of their litter, which they were much obliged to do. So welcome to camp, Cameron and Tiffany, the teens. It's almost 10, so it's past my bedtime. Bye. It's time to watch some Passion with my lover. So I will leave you all to have a spooky night.
With the restless dreams
of haunted things.
Au revoir.
Amen. Au revoir. Et adios.